Center yourself here in this space. Although we have wonderful company around, we can create our sacred space here, just our group, by tuning in to our energy together, to the coherence that we created together as we climbed Jabal Musa, Har Moshe, Mount Sinai. Let your mind rest. Feel your heart. Breathe deeper through your heart. Allow more of the energies of the mountain, of the rocks, of the sand, of the air, of the wind, and even in the water, come to you and through you, because you are part of it. You are truly one with it. As you relax into it, it comes through you even more. You did make the journey and you arrived at the summit. And now, in some ways, you are different than you were when you started. Acknowledge your accomplishment. Acknowledge the divinity of you that supported you in this journey. Climbing the steps to a higher level of yourself, into a new place, into a new beginning, into a new reality, into a new you. You are stronger than before. You are recognizing more of your nobleness, of your magnificence, of your immensity as a soul walking on this earth through all its life, through all its climbing up through a challenge and coming down and climbing up again. But this is a pivotal moment for you. Acknowledging and anchoring this moment now in your consciousness can create a great shift from this point on. Truly acknowledge it in your heart, in your mind, and in your spirit. The word Merkava in Hebrew, when you separate it to three ancient Egyptian words, Mer is light. Feel your light. Ka is your spirit. You are that spirit. And Ba is your body, merged within your body on earth. Your light, your spirit, your soul. You are the creator of who you are. You are the God that is walking on this earth. You are the God that is walking on this earth. There is no God above you, but it is within you. You know this. and you smile and you feel and you allow to be more of that energy here, not in another place, not above, but inside of you, always there, always listening to you, loving you, supporting you, even when you are not thinking you deserve this. It knows fully who you are. Allow for it to truly be part of you and anchor yourself more into this moment. So when in the future you have another mountain to climb, it will be different. It will be easier. It will be with more awareness, with a higher consciousness and understanding of what can you do, what decisions you will make, and what can you create in your life and in those around you as you keep walking on this earth. There is no beginning. There is no end. It is always in a spiral, always in a journal. From life to life to the next life, you carry this energy with you. Celebrate this moment, for you deserve it. Celebrate this moment, for you deserve it. Eheye asher eheye. Eheye asher eheye. Eheye asher eheye. And we'll continue with the wisdom and guidance of Kryon.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. We are in Egypt, and this is the third channeling. We are in a public place, for this is the summit of Mount Sinai. And all who are here take a breath for a moment in amazement that they have actually walked the journey. The altitude is high. You may detect that in my partner's voice. But there is rejoicing here. More than just having made it to the summit. You think of all that goes on in this very spot. The singing, the rejoicing. It's a summit of your life. It truly can be. And before I speak of the man Moses, let me just take a moment to say, this may be the only time you have this experience, dear one, who is with me right now. Take advantage of this and feel all that you can feel. This place is famous for Moses, and it's famous for what he did. It's famous for so many things and so many belief systems. And for the Semites especially, it is the Exodus. But the story has been told so many times, and the scriptures tell it one way, the books tell it another, the movies yet another. I would like to give you the Kryon version. And it's a version that is one that celebrates the man and what happened here even more than that which you read in Scripture. What do you think you know about the man Moses? Born, raised in the royalty of Egypt, as you know, And then when that was finished, the movies would have you say, well, he moved right into something else. I'll tell you what he moved into. He moved into 40 years caring for animals. 40 years. Do any of you have any idea of the maturity and the wisdom of this man when he stepped upon this mountain and something special happened? I'll tell you, he was 80. 5 years older than the man in the chair. And what took place on this mountain, not in this place that you sit, but in a similar area, on the side of the hill, what was significant, it was the first time that the creative source spoke directly to a human being without anything in between, without any statues in between, without any interlopers in between. And the creator took the form of a multi-dimensional angelic being. Now, you heard burning bush, didn't you? Let's put all of these things in perspective. In Moses' day, anything that created light was either in the sky or it burned on earth. Anything that created light was burning. You see this. In this day and age, you know that things that create light is energy of various forms. This was not a burning bush, dear ones, but it was reported the best as possible for the day. Oh, it was more than that. If you could see this, it was more than a fire that did not consume a bush. It was a multidimensional ball of energy, and out of that came the voice. And the first thing the voice did, honestly, regardless of whatever the scripture says, is identity. Here is who I am, and here is my name. The name is so sacred to some, they will not say Yahweh. They will not say the name. Or they will not say it properly or completely, as my partner has just done. It's sacred. And it would remain sacred. But this is where it started, dear ones. And the message was given, and the scriptures say various things took place at that time. The man Moses is far greater than you think, because he had his doubts as well. And the doubts were greater than you even can believe. But he did what he did, and you know he did. And he was also responsible for going up the mountain a second time. And this, dear ones, is where it gets just a little different. Human beings put in their bias of what they believe at the time. And you heard some stories about what Moses did in the Exodus. And I think the most profound one is this, is that the Israelites indeed walked the desert. You drove through it. That's where they were. And the story is that they walked for 40 years. Now let's stop for a moment. Right now, we get a lesson in numbers. And I have not done this before. Moses spent 40 years before he spent any time doing any of these sacred things. And he was 80 by the time he experienced the creative source speaking to him. Years and years went by. But that 40 years that he spent maturing means something. The 40 years in the desert for the Israelites means something. Today, in Tibetan numerology, the four equates with Gaia. Now that is what you would call Mother Earth. But the numerology is even stronger than that. And the kind that I'm going to tell you right now really had no form at that time. And yet numbers meant something. How many sevens are there in the spiritual belief systems of this planet? They're everywhere. How many sevens were there in that the history of Egypt that you're going to see? They're everywhere. They're more than just a reflection of the seven sisters. They're a sacred number. The four is even stronger than you think. The four, dear ones, is about fertility. It's about mother. It's about change. But it's about birthing. The four truly is a rebirthing number. And that is how it got into being the four in the Tibetan numerology, meaning Mother Earth. But it truly is the fertility of the energy of all things. Why 40 years in the desert? We have given you this information before. It is in the scriptures if you wish to find it. My version of it is this. In the Exodus, dear ones, you have a very old energy. And you have all of the generations of the old energy and in the Akash of the old energy. No Israelite could go into Canaan with that energy in their consciousness. And so generations had to pass, dear ones, before the Israelites became Israelis. And they could freely move into Canaan, the promised land, without the consciousness of slavery, without the old energy. Dear ones, that's a rebirth. Do you see why the four was there? That's the kind of rebirth we're looking at right here on the mountain. That is what we speak of that is possible right now with your consciousness. You're looking at a big four right now. Something happened that I want to set straight. I want to make things more elegant and more believable. And yet at the same time, we're going to offend just about everyone. Indeed, the story is true that when Moses saw the golden calf and other things that were apart from God, he saw that the generation was losing the divinity that he had shown them so clearly. Because humans do this. They gravitate toward objects of worship. And so Moses came back here for the second time. And scripture says that he came back down the mountain with the Ten Commandments. Dear ones, I want to explain something that I have said before. This creative source that I speak of, the God of gods, the loving source of love, the most compassion you can imagine from the universe, the creator of all things, is not a judgmental God, is not a judgmental God. This is not a God that gives you complete free choice and then judges you on your choice. They weren't commandments, because this beautiful God does not command. Those were the words given, and those were the translations, and to this day, they are the Ten Commandments. But they trivialize the love of God. Now, I'm not going to rewrite this and call them the Ten Suggestions. They are the 10 instructions of light for the right way to live. They are the 10 instructions of light for the right way to live, with human beings having free choice to look upon them and see the divinity and the sense and the common sense of these instructions. I want you to look at them clearly. Some of them don't look all that divine because they were for the group that was there. They were basic, they were practical, they were the way of life. They outlined some things that made sense, but they were instructions, dear ones. They were not commandments or else. And then the next rewrite. It is said, and it is spoken, and it is written, that Moses got a little impatient, and he did something wrong. Where they needed water, they could have it. And God told him he could put the stick and water would come out. Instead, they say he hit the rock, disobeying what God told him to do, and out came the water. And somehow that disobedience kept him here. And the rest went on. And the Exodus was complete without him. Dear ones, I'm going to rewrite that. Here is what really took place. Moses told those around him, the groups of 12, that he wasn't going. He informed them he was not going because the Creator had told him he wasn't going. He didn't do anything wrong. But how do I explain this yet again? Humans see the creative source as a father. This is where the judgment comes from. This is where the discipline comes from. And they project all things human onto the Almighty. And what the rumors became was this, that Moses had done something wrong, and that's why he couldn't go. He did nothing wrong, dear ones. It wasn't his time. I'll tell you how old he was when he died. And it wasn't that far from that place of the end of the Exodus. 117. 117. And the reason he didn't go is because he was the man of the Exodus. And that was the energy, and that was his life, and that's the accomplishment. That's what he did. And for him then to go on and take that energy and become a leader in a new paradigm in Canaan would not have been appropriate, would not have worked. And so that is why he didn't go. There was no punishment. It's the elegance of the message. Moses, you did your job. And so much of that happened right where you're sitting. In the area here, the energies that are here, the mountain has remained so that you can climb it and you can know these things and you can say, this truly is history. It's a grand history. It began a culture. It began an idea of one God, something that exists today because of the one man. He did nothing wrong, dear ones. All that he did, he doubted himself all the way through. And so I'll tell you this, it's a club. Lack of self-worth. It's a club, and most old souls belong to it. Know this, you're not alone if you question the things that are sacred within you. But that's the free choice you have to decide, like Moses finally did, it really is true. It really is real. You're a creation of God, made in His image, and that is love. Let this message sink in so that you would feel the profundity of it. and know how much you are loved. And so it is.